Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson. This is the podcast where we obsessively follow the world of FPL because Leeds aren't playing until 2056, by which time Rodrigo will have a lovely, fresh new shoulder, but will be 208 years old.
This week, we'll also be joined by comedian, Arsenal fan and star of Friday Night Dinner, Tom Rosenthal, as we try and convince him to join us in the Comedians League. But first, a stunning victory for me. It's now 5-2, a thrashing 52-42 this week. I played my wild card, John, and I'm guessing, looking at you, that you didn't.
I did not play my wild card, and I got to be honest with you, Matthew. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit smug going into this weekend.
Aren't you always?
A little bit of a swagger about Rico as he checked his team. He didn't really do anything until the Friday about 4:30 and didn't know what to do. I thought, I don't want to use my wild card because I'm going to bring in players that I'm not going to want next week. So I managed to put out what I thought. I had two substitutions, two transfers, and by using three, I put out an 11. So I had no one on the bench, but I had Edison in goal, Perisic, Ben White, Nico Williams at home to Fulham. Well, get on to that. I thought that's going to be all right, isn't it? Because either he's going to keep a clean sheet or I'm going to have fun at the next podcast recording. Kieran Trippier, Kulusevski I brought in, Andreas Pereira in midfield and Martin Odegaard, Gabriel Jesus, Haaland and Mitrovic. That's a good 11, I think. And I managed to keep hold of Reece James and Mo Salah so that I don't have to worry about bringing them back in next week.
Yeah.
And it just turned to dog shit. I mean, even the players in teams that did all right didn't score me any points. Pereira got me one. Williams got me one. Perisic two. How is that possible? Spurs flying at the moment. Odegaard didn't even play. That's what killed me. I thought I might just sneak in front of you towards the end. Odegaard not playing, that absolutely finished me. So congratulations, but
Thank you.
Did use your wild card. Talk me through your team and talk me through how far ahead you looked in terms of those transfers. Did you just pick an 11 to win this game week, or did you look at fixtures for the coming two or three and think, actually, this squad I've got now will see me through until the World Cup?
Oh, I'm not sure it will see me through to the World Cup, but I was certainly strategic about it and brought in what I would call point bankers, like Trippier and Cancelo. Trippier reaping five, Cancelo nine. I benched Ramsdale in favour of Pope, who I brought in. I think that was a bad decision. I should have played Ramsdale, of course. Mm-hmm. Nico Williams, you know, Lingard and Johnson, come on to that. I brought in De Bruyne for Salah. That reaped 10.
That was a superb move.
Lovely move. Captain Haaland, as everyone is doing. Jesus, you've got him up front as well. So I didn't make loads of changes. I kept Zinchenko because I think I was trying to... I sort of half used the wild card, basically.
You kept... Well, you fully used it, mate.
Yes, but I didn't change my entire squad.
You put the whole chip in the slot.
Well, you know what I mean? What I mean is it wasn't wholesale changes. Whereas last year it would have been. This year it's not. And again, this week again, I climbed the league. So I kept Harrison, by the way. That was deliberate.
Yeah, even though he didn't play. Bold move.
Well, I stuck him on the bench. I think he's high quality.
Leeds at home to Aston Villa next. So that may prove to be a shrewd move.
Yes. And Bowen, you know what? The West Ham...
Yeah, talk me through that, keeping Jared Bowen in.
Well, because I think he's high quality. But obviously West Ham are up the creek at the moment. And you think, I may try and offload him.
Ark at the pot. Ark at the pot, slagging the kettle off.
What are you on about?
Ark at the pot, saying the kettle's in trouble.
Well, hang on a minute. I just mentioned Lingard, Johnson and Williams.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're not. By the way, let's just deal with this.
Please
I went to watch
do.
Forest, okay, on Friday night. I went to Nottingham Forest versus Fulham. The first time I've attended a Forest game in the Premier League since I was 16. Right?
Sweet.
That's a long
16.
Old wait. That's
talk
a
me
long...
through 16. Talk the listeners through 16-year-old Fordy. What are we looking at? What's he wearing? What does he smell like?
Okay, can I say this now? In retrospect, thinner than I thought I was.
Mm.
See photos of myself at school, I'm like, why did I think I was fat? Anyway, that's probably too deep for this show. But if you are around that
age... podcast, stick it on the extra slice. We'll delve into body dysmorphia.
Well, the problem is, well, you know, another slice is what I ended up having, and then I did get fat. So it was, well,
lovely.
Anyway, my weight fluctuates, as people will know. 16-year-old studious, I probably underperformed in my GCSEs, I think it's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
Tall, I'd just got into, I was into Dire Straits, Old Spice, and left-wing politics, as well as football. And I discovered pubs. So at 15, I started drinking in pubs. And by 16, I was really enjoying that. But basically the same as I am now.
And probably thought, I'm going to be watching Forest in the Premier League for the next 10 years of my life.
Well, I'm not sure about that because we'd been relegated a couple of times before then. So we started to yo-yo that by that point. And that season felt very different. That was obvious that we were just getting pumped week in, week out. It was horrible. So I waited a long time. So on Friday, I travelled to Nottingham early. I was in Nottingham for noon. I went for a lovely, succulent Japanese meal with two friends of mine, who you know. And we went to a few pubs, a few old
Jack
haunts.
Daniels and your old Budweiser.
with Bawley and Yamin, went to did a few pubs in Nottingham. It was great. Some new ones.
Trip to Jerusalem, oldest pub in the world.
We did do the trip, yeah. But it's great. And then the crew sort of accrued as the day went on. Mm-hmm. And then
tribute to Forrest, more people join latterly. By the end, you don't even know everybody's name.
Very nice, very nice. And then what I made sure I did was just eat all day. Because one of the problems I have is I start drinking, I'm on an empty stomach, and then I just can't remember anything. I was like,
this is really good news for me because I'd say it's one of the great flaws in your character when we live together. Your steadfast refusal to allow me to eat alongside alcohol. And it led to a number of pub trips where you had to carry me home.
Yes. Oh, boy. We'll talk. Maybe that's for another slice, some of those stories.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
But anywho.
Anywho.
So I had a succulent Japanese meal. Then I'm just snacking. I was just like, bag of crisps.
Succulent twice now. I'm picturing it now. Now I think it's wet.
Then it was a minimum bag of crisps per pub. The old bowl of chips. I had a burger that I forgot about. My mate was like, oh, that burger was all right. I was like, what? Anyway. So we get there in good time. You don't want to be late for the silence, do you?
Because... strolling over the Trent.
Well, no, the tribute to the Queen. Obviously, you don't want to be coming in late, drunk, looking disrespectful. Anyway, so the minute silence. Now, when I was growing up and I would go to Forest every week, my memory is that every minute silence we had, and it felt like we had a lot, was always ruined by people shouting out. That felt like that was just a routine thing. So Friday comes, the minute silence comes, and lo
live
and behold.
Live
on Sky. It gets sort of shouted over, not by any, I don't think it was a Republican sentiment. I think it just, if you give a stadium of football fans a night game when some of them have been drinking all day.
Some of them.
Yes,
some of us.
Drinking all day. The
own your people.
The temptation for some of them in a non-political way, although I don't know the individuals involved, to shout, you Reds, is overwhelming. And that desire got the better. And then the problem is, as I always remember from childhood, what happens is someone goes, you Reds, and someone goes, shut up, you twat. And someone goes, who are you calling a twat? And they go, who are you calling a twat? Shut up, you twat. And then basically that's what happened. And you just stood there. Well, the vast majority of 30,000 people have stood there in silence, in their own thoughts, while about five people then end up having a shouting match about who's a c-. And it's live on Sky, and you think,
all
wow,
of you,
what am I present at? You know.
So I didn't see the game. You were obviously at the game.
Oh man,
was
we
anything
play so
said...
well. I've got to say, John, at times you play so well. At times you're like, oh, this is phenomenal. We go up. We're ahead at halftime again. Then this basically 6 minutes in the second half where it's just like bang, 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 and they score three. And you're like, oh man. And
atmosphere, you know, in the ground at this point,
deathly. Then Lewis O'Brien, who was superb, gets one back. And then you're like, okay, it's a grandstand finish. But it didn't. I mean, overall, I still feel very positive about it because you can see why the problems exist, and you can see that they're kind of on their way to being solved. So it doesn't, people, some people are panicking, but I just think it's obvious what the problem is. You've got a load of players just trying to figure out who's best to play, and it's going to take a few games to figure that out. And in the meantime, we are scoring goals. We do look good going forward. So overall, it was
you
a lovely
need
a day.
Result quickly, though, don't you? I've said it before on the podcast. I think you're right. I think you've made enough good signings to not be one of the worst three teams in the league, which is all that matters. Yeah. However, the longer this rot sets in, the more those players, whether they are the right 11, become under such pressure, the crowd starts to turn.
Yeah. Well, people will inevitably turn because, I mean, the tension got the better of two people near us and they were slightly grappling towards the end of the game.
Daishin at Christmas?
You what?
Daishin at Christmas?
Who knows? Who knows? You know, you got to do what you got to do. I like Steve Cooper. I want him to stay, as I think the vast majority of fans do. It's just, this is the problem with football is, everyone goes, oh, bite your hand off for fourth from bottom. Well, finishing fourth from bottom does involve losing to teams like Bournemouth and Fulham, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
It does involve scraping it, possibly on goal difference. So,
speaking as a Leeds fan, I would have bitten someone's hand off for fourth from bottom last season, but I tell you what, I'd have sucked their dick for 12th.
You're like that guy in the Fire Festival documentary, but for Leeds. So, yes, but, you know, I got to go. You know what? I got the train home the following day. I was doing a radio show, as you know, Rock and Roll Football on Absolute. And
never
I went into my satchel and I'd bought, I mean, I must have bought 5 copies of the Match Day programme. And I remember at one point being obsessed and my mates were going, why are you so bothered? I was like, they will be collector's items. I understand the programme market. I mean, looking back, one would have done. I was like, why have I got all these copies?
Not like it was the first home game back. Not like it's a game you want to remember. I understand
the
keeping
queen.
One I've got.
Because of the
Queen. Of course.
It was a commemorative edition with the Queen. So I was like, oh, that'll be the one. Yeah. But obviously every club was doing it. Why would
that'll
the Forest
be slim pickings in years to come, won't it? There's just nothing left of Queen memorabilia. Oh,
you know
hang
what?
On. There's a few Forest programmes from when they lost at home to Fulham the season they went straight back down again.
Programme collectors will know that in 1992-93, the home game against Ipswich, for some reason, the programme sold out. It took me years to get hold of one, and I eventually did.
Is it because you were there hammered and you bought 78? Giz box, pal. Stick a bag of frazzles on top.
Oh, I've just remembered I had a ham sandwich and a cheese sandwich from Cluffy's Cob Stop near the ground. That was nice. I keep getting these memories of food yesterday. Oh, let me tell you about yesterday. So yes, we're recording this on Monday. Yesterday was Sunday. And sat on the settee all day, did not leave the flat once. And I ordered my breakfast, lunch and dinner all through takeaway apps.
Lovely.
I don't think I've ever done that before. It felt great.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I had a chicken and avocado wrap for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Then I had a Wagamama's for lunch. That arrived before noon. Didn't stop me. And then for my evening meal, I had Pizza Hut with ice cream.
I was going to say, where's the pod?
Ice cream. I mean, I woke up this morning feeling very heavy and my eyes felt very sticky. My mouth actually tasted of salt. You know, I don't usually eat that much anymore or that sort of food at that scale. I felt kind of good.
Cooper out. Fordy's got gout. You're listening to Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League. Let's get back onto fantasy. We've talked about our teams. We've talked about the live games. But why don't you tell our listeners who they should have picked this week? Perhaps it's time for Fordy's Stat Pack.
That's right. It's not the Rat Pack or the Brat Pack. It's Fordy's Stat Pack.
Always worked on that.
The team of... No, that was just a pure ad lib. That's what it says here.
Improv.
Just a joke about the auto cue. Sorry, scroll back up. Yeah, I'll take that from the top again. Yeah. So the Game Week 8 Team of the Week, Player of the Week, Son, of course, scoring that amazing hat-trick.
I'll tell you what, I had a panicked look up and down the league. I clicked on a good few players to see if somebody had Son and if they'd captained him. You know, you see a player do that well, you think, oh, God, if someone above me has got him, that's me done. Very few people. I don't think anyone had Son in their team this week.
So Begovic in goal, the most successful goalkeeper of the week with 9. Who'd have seen that coming?
The Germans.
Ooh, topical. Saliba, the Arsenal defender, would have reaped you 15. Mings, who I got rid of. I panicked and got rid of my Villa players.
The
9.
Curse.
Cancelo, 9. Into midfield, Son, 19. Bentaker, 12. Reed, 10. Ramsey, 10. Vieira, who scored incredibly. Vieira, you could hear him going, Vieira, whoa. He scored 10, Kane 10, and Morpay, which is what a lot of footballers want.
Lovely, very nice.
So that was the team.
Morpay or Mopay?
Mopay, mo problems. You can cut it either way. I have thought about this. You can go Morpay.
You'll probably cut it all together.
And if you go Mopay, you can go Mopay, mo problems. You know, it's the great thing about WordPress. Oh, it could be one of our features. Mopay, mo problems, where we hear from rich people. Mm-hmm. That's probably not.
How many pints do you reckon you had Friday?
Oh, lots. I mean, 10 plus.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was great. Lovely. Oh, it was really good, John. Ended on cider.
Mm-hmm.
Nice pint of Stoford Press, straight to Taco Bell. And my mate, Matt Appleby, said he'd never seen anyone eat so much Taco Bell in a single sitting. I know, I said, cheers, mate. Churros. I went churros crazy.
Did you?
Churros are great. Is it you that's never had them?
Oh, I've had churros. I don't think I've had Taco Bell.
I know someone who's never had churros. I think I might have given you a bit of mine. I was like, what do you mean you never had?
That's a claim to fame. I know someone who's never had churros.
Yeah, what
that's
you
a Radio on? 4 series waiting to happen.
Oh,
coming up next week on My Friend Who's Never Had Churros, Matt explores couscous.
So, John, to celebrate Harry Kane's curse being well and truly over, I have signed up with Harry's Razors for a trial set. They sent me an expertly engineered handle, a 5-blade cartridge crafted by artisans in a German factory, and it comes with a precision trimmer. The set's also got foaming shave gel for effective lubrication and a travel blade cover for when you're on your travels. I mean, it's exactly what you would imagine a travel blade cover to be, but you get one. You also get a free hydrating night lotion. I know how much you need to hydrate yourself at night. So a Harry's kit is exactly what you need to keep that dry, peeling face from dropping off your very skull. So, dear listeners, you can get the very same. If your skin is as bad as John's, then get it now. Support our podcast and start your own skincare journey by redeeming a free Harry's trial set. All you need to do is pay £3.95 to cover delivery. Just go to harrys.com/comedians and have your trial set and free night lotion delivered to your door. That's harrys.com/comedians. We're delighted to be joined by star of Friday Night Dinner, Tom Rosenthal. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. How are you?
I'm very good. Am I right in saying you used to play FPL, but you don't anymore?
No, I never played it.
What?
I just object to it, to be honest. I mean, I don't know whether this is the right podcast for me. Your producer said that it's fine for me to come on when I like actively don't play. And honestly, sort of hate it. I just don't understand why people do it, personally.
Because it's really good fun. It's highly addictive.
Well, crucially, I mean, highly addictive is that's not a good thing, is it? That's exactly why I don't do it, because I can see people get obsessed with it. I think being a football fan brings you enough suffering as it is. I don't see why people have added a new mode of being frustrated about football, which is already very annoying to support.
But then what it allows you actually is another way to enjoy football. Maybe you've got too negative a mindset in life.
Quite possibly. Maybe this is my problem as a human being. But I just don't like it when like your team concedes a goal and you're like, oh, well, at least it was Didier Drogba. It's like, no, Drogba plays for Chelsea. That's bad. Just stop trying to find good stuff in what is a bad thing, in my opinion. But I don't want to disparage you for having fun. I think fun is a nice thing, but it's just not for me.
Yeah, and this podcast is listened to by people who enjoy FPL and people
That's
who
the
don't.
Thing. This is what I was really worried about coming on, because I'm just going to alienate your entire audience by my opinions, but I just don't play it.
To put the counter argument to that, though, what if Didier Drogba scores against, I don't know, let's say you do a podcast with a friend who supports Nottingham Forest, and Nottingham Forest lose 3-2 at home, and you have in your team the striker that scored the winning goal, that means not only do you get points, but your friend is unhappy.
I think myself, my approach to football is I basically only watch my team play. I think there's like too much football and it takes over your life. So this is a mechanism by which football can take over your life even further. So basically, I just watch Arsenal and I try to stay away from football as much as I can because it is addicting and I become obsessed.
Sounds like a broadly sensible approach to life. Is there anything in your life that if there was a fantasy element of, you'd lose control? What are you into? Cake, crochet?
Fantasy, mock the week? no, honestly, I think This kind of gamification would make me so obsessed as to become a horrific addict. And also, you're in, like, aren't you in leagues with your friends?
Yeah.
And then I just think that I'd inevitably end up hating my friends because they'd be doing better than me. Is that what happens?
Well, I mean, not...
Yeah,
not,
it's not, great.
Not to push the Mock the Week analogy any further, but isn't that what Mock the Week is? How's he got on? He's not even political. It's just one-liners.
Well, let's focus on Arsenal then, because given that you watch so much of Arsenal, maybe you can give us some tips. Who are the players that you think we should be? Because I've got Zinchenko in my team, and then he was injured.
Yeah,
I've got Gabriel Jesus in there, and I think I've got Saka still.
Okay, so Zinchenko is a wonderful footballer, but it seems so far that he has been kind of swapping in and out with Kieran Tierney for that position. I mean, no one's actually nailed on as our main left back, so I'd assume you want to pick players who are sort of guaranteed starters.
Yes.
And it's not really quite clear who our main left back is. I mean, Saliba has started getting goals as well. I mean, that guy, I would say, I mean, Bukayo Saka is an incredible player statistically and to watch. I mean, he just always sets up chances and his, you know, stats have been incredible since he's been in the side. Saliba just seems to be getting goals. It's absolutely massive. Ødegaard defensively is incredible. But again, there's a slight sort of question mark over him and Vieira for that position. Now I think Ødegaard's been a bit slightly unfit. So Martinelli's like very impressive to watch, but yes. I don't think his like statistics would be anything a par with like Saka, and Jesus is a guaranteed starter and does seem to be, I mean, an absolute physical freak who's probably going to bang in quite a lot of goals for us. So I don't know whether that's clearing up anything.
He's a bit, because I almost signed Martinelli on the strength of all or nothing until I realised obviously that was filmed last season. I was like, oh my God, he's brilliant. And then I was like, well, I can't sign him now based on what he was like this time last year. Have you watched All or Nothing and do you like it?
This is just me saying I don't like things. I've watched like none of it. I've watched a bit, basically a few YouTube clips. It's too close. I don't want to be so close. I watched the Man City one and the Tottenham one and I thoroughly enjoyed them. But I just don't want to be that close to the players. Like I want to put them on a pedestal. I don't want to be their mate. Like Lloyd, I was at the game yesterday where Lloyd sung before the national anthem. And he said after he sung the national anthem, Ben White came up to him and was like, oh, well done, Lloydie. Like that was a great bit of singing. And I would hate that. I would hate to be like friends with Ben White. I just want to see him as like a Greek god. Do you know what I mean? So, I don't want to see what they're like as people. I just want to see what they're like as untouchable Adonises, is my approach.
How old are you now, Tom?
I totally get that. Just to clarify, the Lloyd we're talking about is, we're talking about Lloyd Griffith here, the former Soccer AM presenter who sang the national anthem before the Brentford-Arsenal game.
Mm.
And you were, I mean, I watched it on Sky. His singing was phenomenal.
He's got a good set of pipes.
Did it make you cry?
No, what happened? So I was basically filming it. I was filming Lloyd singing, but beforehand it was the minute silence, and I filmed the minute silence waiting for Lloyd to do his singing. And then I had this sort of meltdown that because the game was live on TV, the camera would like pan to me and I would have been filming the minute silence and I'd be the new like Philip Schofield that everyone would be like, this guy's got no respect. How dare he do this to the Queen? So I spent the first like 2 or 3 minutes of the game like frantically searching Twitter to see if I was getting loads of abuse.
And you were, but just not for that.
No, that's other stuff. But I was stood next to my dad, and I thought the camera might pan to Jim Rosenthal being very, you know, stoic and very like respectful, and then his just dickhead son stood next to him filming it on his iPhone.
What's it like watching football with Jim Rosenthal?
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's great, obviously. He always like taps me on the leg when he thinks there's a chance, come in. And, you know, he's just got such respect around all football stadiums. It's wonderful tagging along.
But does he chat away during it? Do you see what they're doing there, Tom? They're moving that in midfield. They used to do that, of course, under George Graham.
He does a little bit, but I'm quite disparaging about it all, really, because he just has the same sort of 10 phrases that he says over and over again. And I'm much more into the sort of tactical analysis. He doesn't understand what people play out from the back. Do you know what I mean? He's got used to it a little bit now, but he's much a sort of like a 90s, just get it out. You know what I mean? Reset kind of. He's a little bit more old school. And I had to sort of convince him round to the juego de posición tactical styles of Guardiola and Arteta. I mean, it would probably make a good podcast if you...
Oh, yeah, it would.
Oh, he's come on here to slag off our podcast and then launch his own. barefaced cheek of it.
Probably make a much better podcast.
I'm all for that. Kick it out. I don't want defenders who can play football. As a kid who went to school and couldn't play football, it was very clear if you're not good with the ball, you go in defence. That is essential for unpopular 7 and 8 year olds up and down this country. Now you've got kids being told you're not even good enough to be right back because you can't. You have to be able to pass and nutmeg and go around people in any position. Outrageous.
Yeah. Go and play rugby.
Yeah. Try it.
Oh, you were good at it, weren't you, John?
I was fast. You know, I was good at, I will say being chased as a child without a ball does teach you for the slightly easier version of being chased with a ball. At least you understand why you're being chased in rugby. there's a footballer called Tom Rosenthal, isn't there? Do you follow him?
There is, yeah. He's Ronnie Rosenthal's son.
Oh, and, bloody hell.
My dad actually bumped into Ronnie Rosenthal a few years ago, and he says that his son is furious at me because whenever he Googles himself, my goony face pops up. There's also a musician called Tom Rosenthal who, because of TikTok, is fastly becoming more famous than both of us. So it's a really, really popular name for some reason.
And amazing to have two footballing Rosenthals.
Well, I think Rosenthal is a slightly more, it is kind of a common name across the world in America and stuff. I mean, I actually have a memory when I was a kid, I had an Arsenal shirt with Rosenthal on the back at the same time that Ronnie Rosenthal played for Tottenham. Oh, and I do remember getting some abuse walking to Highbury, even as like a nine-year-old, being like, what are you doing with that on your shirt? And it's a good point. I think my dad should have probably thought about that before he got me the Rosenthal shirt.
Yeah, yeah, but maybe thought it was character building and a sort of boy named.
Well, it wasn't. I have no character. So.
We're talking to kids being good at football. Ethan Nawaneri, I think, is 15. He came on against Brentford, the youngest ever Premier League player at 15 years old. But he's so young, he wasn't allowed to get changed in the dressing room with the players.
Yeah. And I never thought I'd say this on a podcast, but for a 15-year-old, he's got a massive ass. Like, he's so, like, physically, I can't believe that boy is 15. It was a real shot. Apparently, well, Lloyd was down there with the Brentford, like, analysts before the game, and they were sort of baffled that we had these three anonymous children on the bench. There was some good value chance about having school in the morning, etc.
That's all very clean, and, isn't it?
15?
It's mad, isn't it? 15 playing Premier League football, and not just for Arsenal, who were having an amazing season.
Oh, I'd love to know the club that was on the end of your tongue there, not just four. Go on, who were you about to slag off?
Leicester. Deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, could you buy him for your FPL? Would that be sort of a bit of a wild gamble?
Yeah, you
could. Yeah, it'd be a stupid gamble, I think, at the moment, wouldn't it?
But how much would he cost? Can you buy him? Is he on the... Was it a website? I sound like my dad by now. I honestly don't know.
Just check again.
You
were 34, yeah?
I've really had to stay away from it because I knew that I'd get into it. But I mean, I've thought from the start of the year that Arsenal are going to have an incredible season. Would you have just been able to buy the entire Arsenal team and have that as your FPL team?
You can only have three.
From each club.
Oh, that's lamentable. Who's your least favourite player in your team that you like don't like as a player or person, but you sort of have to reluctantly support? Or do you just inevitably like think of them all as your children?
No, there's definitely begrudging selections, isn't there? I've got Kieran Trippier in at the moment, and I did vow at the start of the season I wouldn't have any Newcastle players in.
Oh, I see.
I've got nothing against Trips, yeah?
Trips is a geezer.
Got no beef with Trips, but yeah, I did. I don't have any Manchester United players in my team.
Tough guy. Yeah, you're showing them, pal.
So Ethan Nwanyeri is 4.5 million.
Cheap.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh,
that's cheap, Tom.
That's cheap, is it?
Yeah.
Sorry,
He's
cheap.
The same value as Andreas Pereira at Fulham. I think he's a better purchase. He's 5.5 million more than Nico Williams at Nottingham Forest.
That's mad. Nico Williams is a great, great signing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you'll start getting assists as well. That's the thing.
Willie, when's all this going to start happening? Talk the listeners through when Nottingham Forest might bear fruit.
I think, as anyone who's followed the news will know, Forest signed 22 players. That is two 11s, two teams, right? So think of the potential different combinations there, probably running into the thousands. Mm-hmm. So Steve Cooper's very quickly got to figure out who his starting 11 is, and that's very difficult. Once that clicks, I think we're going to be fine, and then it'll look. Because the thing is, we're scoring goals.
Oh, I love this. Teams, he's talking himself. Can you hear Tom? He's talking himself into it. That's the joy.
No,
he didn't know at the beginning that he had any faith. And now he's
perfectly calm.
Actually, now that I think of it, I think we're going to be fine.
Total faith. Total faith in Steve Cooper, in the powers that be at Nottingham Forest, because we're scoring goals. So, and we look good going forward. You know, when teams are in trouble, they can't score. Now, we're conceding more than we're scoring, which obviously is, by definition, bad. But we are able to score goals. We look good going forward. And once that all comes together, basically, we just got to sort our defence out. We've got England international Dean Henderson, the first Forest player to be called up to the England squad since Steve Stone in 1996. So things are obviously going in the right direction. But yeah, it will just take a few weeks. That's all we need, just a few weeks. Give us a few weeks, and then you just watch us fly.
Can I say, as someone who hasn't actually watched much football that isn't Arsenal, that has seen a few clips of Nottingham Forest. Mm-hmm. Huge fan of not having a sponsor. Why do you not have a sponsor? I love it when clubs don't have a sponsor. It's beautiful.
Thank you very much. I don't think it's done for the purity of the shirt. I think we had a previous sponsor. We turned down them and we are, I guess, yet to replace them.
And would this podcast maybe think about fronting the money to get itself on Nottingham Forest shirts?
I think we would need between £6 and £10 million.
Mm-hmm. GoFundMe. How many listeners does it have?
Well,
not between six and 10 million.
Yeah, somewhere between six and 10 million if you add it all up. Yeah. But I think it's probably out of our range. But any benevolent billionaires who listen,
yeah,
Bezos.
In fairness, it's one of those clubs, you know, like you sponsor a club, you don't know what you get out of it. You can see the money being spent at Forest. I mean, you know exactly where those pennies are going. They'll be spent before you've even had the shirts printed.
We have bought high-quality players. Some of them are injured. It's going to take a while for it all to click, but the resources are there, the manager's there, the ownership's there. Got a lovely sponsor-free shirt. It's all coming together. The stadium's going to be redeveloped. People are, on the whole, happy. Although fights were breaking out on Friday. But that just happens at football, doesn't it?
Where will Arsenal finish this year, Tom?
So I put as much money as it's feasible to put on in my betting apps about Arsenal to finish top four at the start of the season. Annoyingly not. Whatever the limit is, I hit the limit. I've never bet on Arsenal before in my life, but it was all really sort of coming together. And I am convinced we're going to finish top four, and I am pretty confident saying we're going to finish top three. I mean, it's, you know, City's league, clearly. But the rest is much of a muchness. And yeah, I mean, we're an absolute joy to watch. Yesterday, I don't know whether you saw the game yesterday, but just incredibly proficient, very much City-esque. I mean, yes. Brentford just had absolutely none of the game, apart from the 70th minute when everyone was busy applauding the Queen. That seemed to somewhat distract Arsenal and gave Brentford a few shots on goal. But beyond that, it was just the most solid performance. And we're such big boys now as well. Like watching Arsenal in the past, we've had all these diminutive midfielders, which have, scored lovely goals against Norwich occasionally, but you wouldn't go and physically dominate teams. But now, I mean, Saliba is just a massive man. He's just a huge boy.
It's nice to see, isn't it, when you've got a few strapping fellas, you think you get out there, give him hell, boys.
It's a different team, and it's a real joy to watch.
Arsenal Forest in a few weeks. Are you going to go?
Is it at the Emirates?
Yes, 30th of October, I think.
Well, then, I'll be there.
Halloween weekend.
I'll be there.
Make a weekend.
30th of October. Let me just check my Google. Are you going to go, mate?
I'd like to go, yeah. What I'm saying is, do you know anyone can sort me out a ticket?
Oh, yeah, but you have to sit with me.
That's all right. Cool. Where about you sit in the away end?
With the Arsenal firm.
Really?
Talking the tough about guys. The big boys.
Yeah, you might get your throat slit.
I'll be up for that, yeah.
All right, then. Well, let's do that.
Okay.
I'm busy. I'm all right, lads. I'm on tour this year. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Okay, mate. Well, you can come to Arsenal Zurich on the Thursday after if you want.
All right, yeah, fine. Yeah. Why not? All right.
Why not? That's quite a lot of reasons. Let's just ignore
the language. I know how to fit in now with the Arsenal firm. I just go, crikey, aren't we big boys these days? Aren't we big boys? Should we talk about the incredibly titled Lloyd of the Flies?
Please watch that. If you've got a kid, it's a new cartoon coming out on CITV. You know, he's a fly and he's got my voice.
He's so cool.
He's cute. Yeah. He's a cool little fly. It's targeted at 7 to 12-year-olds, but if you've got a very smart 4-year-old or a very stupid 16-year-old, just tune in. yeah, it's a cute little cartoon made by the makers of Wallace and Gromit. Get involved.
Ooh, yeah, brilliant. That's the pinnacle.
They are smart people down there. Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me talk about that.
Absolute pleasure. I'll be watching it as well as a man who, as a 40-year-old man who watches his child's cartoons when she's in bed.
Fantastic. Well, let me know what you think. Arsenal v Zurich. I'll be glad to get your review.
<Will do. laughs> Cheers, Tom.
Cheers, Tom. That was amazing. John, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Excellent. I've got some very exciting news.
You've ordered me a new chair.
No, better. We've been approached to make our very own CPFPL beer to accompany the podcast with Leeds' very own Kirkstall Brewery. I think we should open it up to the listeners to suggest. Get in touch. What should the comedians playing FPL beer taste like? Email us at hello@cpfpl.com with some suggestions. And for a bit of inspiration, Kirkstall are known for their delicious cask beers like Three Swords and Dissolution, as well as modern hoppy beers like Virtuous and Judicious. So what should it be like? Should it be dark and bitter like John's Soul? Or should it be light and positive, sparkling and popular like one of my mates? As well as brewing great beer, they also own some of the best pubs in West Yorkshire, like the Kirkstall Bridge Inn and the Cardigan Arms in Leeds, the Sparrow Beer Cafe in Bradford, and their own tap room at the brewery on Kirkstall Road. I'm going to do a pub crawl around all of them. Listeners can get 20% off everything on Kirkstall's online shop with the code CPFPL20, and look out for a very special collaboration beer from us and Kirkstall very soon. Just visit the website kirkstallbrewery.com and click on shop.
That's all we've got time for this episode. We will be back later in the week with another.
We will indeed. Don't forget to go to anotherslice.com, where you'll be able to get extra bonus episodes of the podcast, extra unheard content, early episodes, episodes that are ad-free, loads more other stuff. And obviously, as the weeks go by, obviously, we are continuing to furnish that with many, many goodies. So go to anotherslice.com/CPFPL for details. Our first all-exclusive episode is on the platform now, and here's a snippet.
I was advised this week, because I don't want foxes coming into the garden for various reasons, I was advised this week that I need to urinate on all four corners of my garden. It's no good the dog doing it, because it's not scared of the dog, but a fox can smell man wee, and if I wee in my garden, it'll stop the fox coming in. But there are a couple of points where I'm definitely visible to my neighbours.
I have a solution.
Please.
Piss into a container, and then...
It's your solution to everything.
You can just...
Bloody, my relationship's not working. Piss into a container.
Chuck it at them. Well, there you go. If you want that and more, go to anotherslice.com/CPFPL and more content, I guess is what we call it. More genius being added there by the second. Don't forget to email us, hello@cpfpl.com. Have you ever been called a shit eater? Have you ever called anyone it? And with all your different wonderful ideas and thoughts, find us on social media and please leave a 5-star written review. Bye.
Bye.